I what everybody usually likes to know is what can we look forward to? What are you working on now, or is there anything you'd like to know about?
No, I'm not working on anything. I have my hotel, and you'll have to come out and see it.
Oh, where's that?
Called the Beverly Dollar Holiday Inn. One block west of Universal. It's 255 rooms, and if you want to come, all you do is call 1-800-BEVERLY. And as you know, people are fabulous.
And seeing that you're pushing buildings, we have a shopping center in
town. Oh, wow.
I can't believe that. One of those mini malls.
Woo!
We've had it for a year now. Have you? What do you have there? Well, now you're getting very personal.
The only thing that I'm looking forward to is I'm going to be filming. I'm going to have a part in a horror film. And I'm going to have you go up to San Francisco to film it in February. Small part, but it would be fun.
Yeah.
Could we ask who the director is? And to be truthful, I've got all these names and I've never seen any of the names before. I have the information upstairs. I'm sorry, I'll never know.
I have two unreleased pictures, movies, and one's called The Still Life, that is now going into all the film festivals. And another one is called Kill Your Darlings. And when you write a script and a writer and they want them to take a scene out, it's like killing their darlings. That's where that comes from. And I have a new a reality show that just sold to VH1 that's being filmed by the same people who filmed the Paris Hilton show. It's very, very funny. It's my son created it. We have our own production company in Beverly Hills. And it's called... at the moment, we could change this, hip-hop mogul mamas. And my girlfriend and I, of 48 years, she was the top model in New York when I was a movie star in Hollywood, and we both lost our husbands at the same time. She moved back to California, and we decided we didn't want to be turned out to pasture because we didn't have a hotel or a shopping center. And so we decided we would go into the youth culture. And where better than to stop but with hip-hop rap? Can you imagine us with these great big rappers? Anyway, we have Quincy Jones on the show. We have Kool Moe Dee, who started rap. We have Coolio. And we discover rappers, and we try to bridge the gap between the baby boomers and the young people of today. We try to... I always loved country. In fact, I produced the opening week of the Superdome when it opened in New Orleans. I had two shows. My country show was Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, Charlie Pride, Waylon Jennings, Jesse Coulter, and June Carter Cash. And I always said I was country when country wasn't cool, and I love country music because it's America, it tells a story, it's wonderful, and rap can do the same thing. I mean, the people from the hood and from all nationalities come to this country and they can lay out their hearts, and we want to do that and people to express themselves and also clean up a little bit and have less gangsta and more from the heart and the soul, which we're doing. And we're also have arranged to go in. We want to go where angels fear to tread. So my good friend Dr. Jerry Buss, who owns the Lakers, is going to let us be the first women to ever go into the Lakers locker room. So we're also going into mode extreme sports, wherever the youth culture goes, we're going to go. We tour abroad. So that's what I'm doing. And we're also doing a 4-hour mini series with Jerry, my son, and Gerald Molin, who got the Academy Award for Schindler's List, is producing. Mark Reichel is directing, and right now, Jesus is reading the script. Jim Caviezel from the Fashion and we hope that he's going to play it. And we're doing a 4-hour mini series that shows you what really happened to Howard Hughes in the end. I love The Aviator. I thought the glamour years were wonderful. I felt that that they killed it, they had it go crazy for the wrong reasons 30 years too soon, so we're going to tell from birth to death the whole story. Yes?
Are you taping now for the VH1 series?
We have already done a pilot. We're going to do another pilot, and we start as soon as we get back. In fact, I was in Washington, D.C., doing a commercial, and I had to run back between these two trips, which I was going to come straight here to go back and meet with our production company, who just can't wait to get started when we get back.
And how was it working with Coolio and the rest of them?
I love it. I mean, these guys are just wonderful, you know? And my name, I'm Timo, and my girlfriend is Mama G. And to see me with all these rappers, I mean, it's just unreal. It's just fantastic.
Totally different for you?
And they're all little boys. I don't care whether it's 50 Cent or what. You know, they seem like such tough guys, but they're not.
Would you say it's like the atmosphere and being with them is totally different from like hearing country music and
totally.
Totally.
Totally. You know, you know, they're both stories. You know, one is, it's heartbreaking, you know, and it really started in Jamaica. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to Jamaica and film the people who really started it.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's in Spain, the only way you can become, you know, famous, come up from the bootstraps, is becoming a bullfighter and different places. And it's wonderful that these people have come out of nowhere and tell their stories. And a lot, we all have a story to tell. We all want to speak from our solo.
I had one page.
Ask them, because I'm in the same place.
But no, it's from the past, the classic Gaslight.
Yes.
Is that you, the little girl being brought into the carriage?
Yes, it is. I played Ingrid Bergman at the time.
Someone said, we love now. No, that's Ingrid Bergman.
No, it was Ingrid Bergman was that tall. I was about 3 feet tall then.
Because the resemblance is remarkable.
It is remarkable. We're both Swedish too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I had one for Ms. Grom. Do you keep in contact with your co-stars from Scarecrow and his team?
Well, yes, kind of. No, we don't go party. We don't party anymore.
But I was thinking maybe they might have like a reunion TV.
No, but they Scarecrow and Mrs. King does have a big reunion every year at my hotel. Every year at my hotel. And people, you know, who are really Scarecrow and Mrs. King's fans come to the hotel. They have a party and they invite whatever. And they invite us, the cast, to come. And so we do all see each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm.
A cousin of mine gave me a present 2 Christmases ago, the get complete set of celebrity roasts. And
they're funny. Gotcha. Yeah, they're better than when the show aired, because except for maybe Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and I can't remember who the other one was, those are, as they were shot and aired, you know, in the hour thing. All the other shows, they took the best of the hour, made a half hour out of one show,
mm-hmm.
and then did the same of the show, put it together for an hour tape. So there are several hour tapes that are really, really funny.
There was one where you swatted Dean Martin, and
I swatted him every time that I was on the show.
I don't know if you caught him off guard. He said something about, it was my spleen.
Yeah, he would have lived on, he was wonderful. But the best thing in the world, you just don't have any idea what it was like. Because I would be above him because I'd be at the podium and he'd be down like that. And he knew I was going to hit him at different times. It didn't happen every time. But to look down at that wonderful face of Dean Martin and see him tear up. He even had tears. It was great. It was great.
I love it. Good.
I'm glad you owned them.
Oh, yeah, he only gave me choice of two, but...
Oh, you got a whole bunch. It's a great, great gift. Great Christmas gift.
Mm-hmm. I had something about the roast, and I had a question. Gentlemen brought up. I just started subscribing to them, too. They finally started putting them on DVD.
Yeah.
And the first one they sent was the Frank Sinatra one. I was telling my friend here, I just watched it last week, and I just died. die laughing at that. That was one of the funniest ones. Yeah, some of the best things on that show. Was totally hilarious. You know, we just won't ever see that again. It just, they were great. I'm planning on, you know,
that's for sure.
I just want to know, this is just a general question. I'm a real big movie fan, and I just want to know what seems like these days, for me, I'm 46, and I grew up with it, they just seem to be remaking things over and over. And some things that shouldn't be remade, some things that they do remake that come out pretty good, you know. What trends do you see that are really, like, good in films? What trends are bad in films? Any thoughts on that at all? Anything you'd like to see them do or make? New TV show, even some things on TV. You know, I have a stable number of shows that I feel are quality, and to me, the rest is all just, you know, junk. And things like the Laugh-In or My Three Sons or Mighty Joe Young, we don't see that stuff anymore. It's like, you know, I grew up with it, and it's very hard to even see that anymore. So,
I think it all has to do with the writers. To write clean, funny material is the hardest thing in the world. And that's what we did back then, a lot of clean, funny material. And now that I think on TV, it's getting a little risque, would you say?
I want to say a little risque.
Eat words and all that kind of thing.
It's just the writing. It's all to do with the writing. And because they can't
have any imagination,
they go to remake a film.
They say, oh, that's the funniest film I've ever seen, and that's... Let's see, they did that 10, 15 years ago, so we'll do it again. And if we do it again, it'll even be better.
Yeah,
it'll be funnier. Well, it isn't funnier. And it isn't better.
It's just a waste of time.
It's a waste of time.
Pink Panther, to me, was so hysterical. Yeah. I'm sure he's wonderful. I like Martin. And but I, way down deep, I don't even want to see it.
No, not
it is. I've got that memory of that original one.
Yeah, you have the memory of something that was so wonderful, but they keep thinking they're going to improve it.
Well, thank God they've never remade Being There. I don't see how anything could ever be that funny again.
My favorite movie of all time is Psycho. And I, as curiosity, I had to go. And I came out saying, well, there was one or two positive things about it. What Hitchcock knew what he was doing.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
Movie in color. And you just don't redo something that great.
But you see, people go, and people see it,
right.
And people spend money, so they go, oh, what a good idea we had.
I don't think you can ever remake somebody's original dream. They have to have their own dream, their own dream.
Terry?
Yes.
I was in the audience last month when you spoke in San Francisco, and you talked about seeing Ray Harryhausen. Have you had a chance to do that yet?
Oh, I see him all the time.
Okay, how is he?
Oh, he's wonderful. He's in his 90s. I go to all his birthday parties. He lives in England, and he comes over twice a year, and I think he's coming over this spring again, and I'll see him again. I just love him. I'll see him all the time. That guy's going to go on forever. Yes?
Ms. Moore, do you have any stories of the making of the great Rupert with George Powell, Jimmy Durant, and Queenie Smith?
Oh, I had so much fun making that because Jimmy, I think that's the only movie he ever starred in, you know, and I'm so happy to have starred with Jimmy Durante. And he had all these guys, Jackson and all of them, they were still living, and he was pounding the piano between every scene, and that was just wonderful. You know, I mean, it was living with Vaudeville, you know, again. All those guys were there, and Jimmy was now older. There was nobody. There'll never be any of that. That's another original. There'll never be another Jimmy Durante. And I'm so thrilled to have worked with him, with Laurel and Hardy, with all the greats all the way back. Jolson, Dance with Fred Astaire. I mean, you know, these are wonderful moments in time.
I danced with Gene Kelly.
You what?
Gene
Kelly.
Oh, wow, I didn't do that.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no.
She is fabulous.
I have to ask, Miss Buzzy, you look so young. Were you 5 years old? I'm laughing.
Four.
How old were you when you started?
I was three. I'll go there. Thank you for the compliment.
Memorize
that.
Everything you gave
her. Oh, ain't she
great?
Bitch.
Yeah.
Roger Corman, do you still keep in contact with
him? Oh, yeah. Every time he gets an award, he asks me to come. So that I can clap.
Because you mentioned remakes. They remade Not of This Earth.
Terrible.
I mean, your version may not have had the greatest special, but there was a charm about it. Like,
yeah.
Like you said there was a charm about it.
I agree.
And the remake.
No.
You and your black and white, I think, adds like the film noir type. But
they remade DOA. Terrible.
Oh yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Just awful. Yeah.
But you were always one of my favorites because, as a heroine, when you were running from the monster, you had to take off your high heels.
I know. Which in King Kong, do you believe she climbed the Empire State Building in high heels and then stood on the top, you know, in high heels? And then in another scene, I mean, even in B movies, our prop people wouldn't allow that. She has one pair of shoes and then it switches in the same scene. They're toeless and heelless, and the next thing they've got heels and, I mean, a $300 million movie, and you don't catch that?
Oh! I don't know, for some reason, every time I ran in these monster movies that I made, they always asked me to keep on my shoes. And my heels were like this, and into the mud, into the thing, up the hill, down the hill, you know.
Well, you know, how I got Mighty Joe Young, they'd already signed another girl, and they had to pay for her. I met the director, and he said, can you run? And I took off my high heels and ran to the end of the lot and back, and he said, you've got the role. They said, what about the other girl? They said, pay her off. Said, you run like a deer. But, I mean, I always noticed that, because, I mean, to me, at least in a $300 million movie, they should make them take their shoes off in time.
Absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
Ms. Garvin, do you have any stories about the making of Not of This Earth? I bet that there was a fight between Paul Birch and Roger Corman, and Birch almost almost punched him out, and Birch walked off the
set. Yes, he walked off. He had to wear these, you know, eye things, you know, he had to wear, and they were kind of green or opaque. And in those days, they didn't really have good, what do you call them, when you want to look out of your eyes.
Contacts,
and they were okay. And they just felt awful. And he hated them. And Roger made him wear them all the time. And he just did not like Roger Corman, and he didn't like to wear those things. And they just were like oil and vinegar. And finally he had it. And he left. And we had filmed enough so that we could use a stand-in from the back, and you never knew if he'd gone. But, yeah.
Okay,
we can have another panel in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, go.
Can we have a round of applause?